Just 2 seconds. We might as well just stay here. Now, I would like to introduce our second speaker for today, Rebecca from, it says Sacramento, but it's El Dorado Hills, one of those foothill communities.
Ready? Oh, thank you so much, Paul. I really enjoyed your share. I am also the loneliest person in the room. I think compulsive overeaters are born lonely. You know, I've always, working with compulsive overeaters for over 20 years, I've seen a lot of lonely people. Well, I'm Rebecca, compulsive overeater. I've also studied comparative religion. And, you know, I mentioned that, and I'm glad Paul brought that up. I had forgotten about that part of my life to a degree because I was always looking for something. I was always searching for something. I didn't just start here. I didn't hatch when I got into OA. I've always recognized there was something not right, something wrong. I would compare myself to others constantly. You know, this is the greatest... Oh, I have so many great gifts that OA has given me, but... One of them was I compared myself to everyone at all times. She's thinner than me. I'm thinner than her. She seems smarter than me. I'm smarter than her. I mean, this is exhausting. If any of you do it, give it up. It's useless. It's useless. He's taller than me. What can I do about this stuff? Wear stilts? I can't, you know, it's just exhausting. Constant comparison. And of course, both are false, because when I was better than you on some level, it was some outward thing, or it didn't mean anything, because then the next guy would come along, I would be lesser than, and then I would feel worse about myself. This comparison that seems to run through many people in OA. I also have many years in program. I was 24 years abstinent on May 12th of this last year. It's been a surprise to me, too, in a way. You know, really, I know it seems funny, but it really has gone fast in a kind of grinding way. when I had, and I'll just, this is just an aside, because I know some of you are going to go through this at some point. When I had 19 years, you know, that's a person who can vote. That's 19 years of my life. I also have sponsored since, 2 weeks into the program, I was sponsoring some kid who's still in the program. I still see him once in a while, like a grandmother now. He was in high school. He just walked up to me and asked me. I said, sure, what the hell? But I also had a crazy sponsor. I mean, really, if you're looking for a perfect sponsor, God bless you on your quest. my sponsor was so nutty that if I had shoveled to China, and then when I got to China, went into an insane asylum where they only spoke Chinese, that's how crazy she was. And yet I got better. Because I'm going to let you in on a little secret. There is no such thing as perfection here. The only thing perfect remotely about this program are the steps. That's it. Not the people. Oh my God, really? You know, not the people. Not the food plan or lack of it. It's the steps. The steps are perfect. So anyway, yeah, I got better in spite of or because of not looking for any perfection in any sponsor. Now, I'm not saying there aren't bad fits. Sometimes you do have a sponsor that is not the greatest fit for you, but I would really ask you to search your heart with what you want from a sponsor before you just bail. Also, always have good closure with the sponsor you're leaving. Always. When you see them at meetings, you do not want to be looking down at the floor. We're brought here to live a cleaner life, not make it messier, not switch meetings because you're going to see her or him. So, you know, I came into program, I started sponsoring, I got... You know, I was just doing the thing. I was very confused. Anytime anybody got up here, I listened very intently, and if they said, you know, whatever they said, I became that. I mean, just I processed that. So I was such an open book. that makes it sound good. I mean, I was so, it was like a sponge. I didn't have any real way of being. I didn't read to the agnostic till I had been in 4 years because I had came in with a God. So, you know, I didn't have to read that. I already had a God. And if you didn't have a God, then you were screwed. Wasn't God proud of my attitude? I had so much spiritual pride. And yet, what was wrong with this picture? I was obese, but I believed in God. It reminds me of those highlight magazines. There's a boot in the tree. I had to learn how to be a child of God. I had to learn to subject my will to something else besides my own wants and desires. Like a lot of compulsive overeaters, I was very into fantasy, tremendously into fantasy. I really believed that a good marriage plan was the Cleavers, you know, from Leave It to Beaver, or any Disney cartoon. Any Disney cartoon at all where birds made your dress. That sounded good. But the idea of a person, a human being, now that was tough. My husband does not know how to use needle and thread. I've had to learn to love him in spite of that. I think you know what I'm saying. I signed up to marry a prince so that he could make me a princess. And what I got was a man. What a horrendous disappointment. I adore my husband. I love my husband very much. But he is a human being, trust me, on so many levels. On the way down, when the previous speaker, when Paul was mentioning about how it works, I popped in the CD on how it works. I just did it because I knew I was going to speak here, to tell you the truth. So I probably wouldn't have listened to it this morning, but I do read a lot and listen to a lot, and also read a lot of spiritual literature, which I find very helpful. The big book, not exclusively, but a lot. And so when it said in the How It Works about, and now about our sex, my husband turned it off. And I said, no, we're not going to talk about it. I just want to listen to him talking about this. He turned it off because he wanted to talk about our sex life. This is pretty much number one on his hit parade most of the time. And you know when it said that all pepper diet, he was like shaking the pepper. I said, put your hands on the wheel. He makes me laugh. He really does. He's a lot of fun. So I wasn't a good employee. I quit a lot of jobs, or I got canned. I didn't know how to be a good employee. I think I was a good worker, but I wasn't good on a team, it seemed like. I gossiped a lot. If you wanted to talk about somebody else in the building besides me, I was your girl. You know, that was fun. And of course, it went along with my game plan of being less than or better than. There was just a lot of things that I can look back on. I was filled with rage. I had a lot of anger. And I was in total denial of that. Total. I just was hurt. I was hurt. I wasn't angry. Damn it to hell, I'm not angry. I'm hurt. I'm hurt. Because I loved to play the victim. And you know, I've learned here there are no victims. And this isn't pleasant. There's only volunteers. I don't blame anybody for anything. I could if it worked. Believe me, I'd be the first to point my finger, but it just doesn't work. I am responsible for my own life. It's another disappointment, really. For the most part, of course, things happen, bad things happen to good people, all that stuff. But, you know, for the most part, I'm responsible. More degree. So I came in, I'm sponsoring, I'm losing weight, I'm going to as many meetings as I can. I have a little boy at home, not even in kindergarten, and a husband. And you know, so within my parameters of busyness, I went to as many meetings as I could. I love meetings. I crave them. I still do. I really love meetings. The worst meeting I've ever been to is still better than eating like a pig. I've been in so long that I had a Harvest Gold refrigerator. That's a long time. And my husband told me one time, why don't you just put a tanning bulb in there? Because then, of course, you could accomplish something. I had my butt sticking out of that Harvest Gold refrigerator every 10 minutes. I had worn a rut, you know, into the kitchen. And also another thing that I had done is I had stopped eating pink and purple food. I had started going to the health food store, and I was eating a lot of brown and beige food. You can binge on anything if you set your mind to it. I find great joy in yogurt-covered anything. So, you know, this is the part in the big book that I do disagree with. Half measures avail us nothing. Well, I know, because I lived it. Half measures avail you half. And if you want to live a half a life, you're welcome to it. No one in OA is going to tell you. They'll let you do it forever, to the day of your death. But I don't want it. I signed up for the whole thing, and I want it, and I work for it, and I claim it. I want a whole life. Abstinence through the holidays. You know, of course you think about this. Whenever they give you a topic, it's just responsible to say, well, I better talk about this. And it is true that, you know, year after year after year, I haven't had the top layer of a box of C's. And there's a lot of things also I haven't had. I had a baby in the cart, and now my second child was born, and I had been in program a couple of years. And I saw this ad for this candy in this big display at the grocery store, and I just stopped in front of it. And I just kept looking at it and looking at it. And I thought, I've never had that. When did they invent that? I want that. And, you know, what is it? I need it. Yeah, there's just a lot of stuff that they've come up with that I've never had. I'm sure it's fabulous. They're not going to make any money off of me this year anyway. Somebody, right before I got up, just earlier, a woman said that her sponsor told her when she goes to parties or functions during the holiday, she told her to keep something in her hand. If she has something in her hand, I guess it's like the alcoholic thing where you have a glass of water in your hand through the whole cocktail party or a cup of coffee. You know, just keep that thing there to sort of, you know, it is hard to eat with your feet. You know, not that we wouldn't try if we could, but to have something in your hand, I thought, well, that was helpful. One of my sponsees last night, I didn't ask these people for this stuff. They just gave it to me. I have that kind of ambiance where people like to help me. But anyway, somebody last night was on the phone with me and said that she just concentrates on the people. Well, that wouldn't work with me, believe me. But anyway, it works for her. She concentrates on the people in the family, the people that she's with. And she always takes a walk. And it's become part of their family tradition that they take a walk after the meal. And that helps a lot, too. So there are things, I don't know if these are called tricks, I don't know what they are, but I know that these are things that help. Of course, spiritually, to be fit is the most important thing, and truly, you can get a lot of speakers that stand up here all day with all kinds of ways of doing things, but your spiritual connection is your greatest armor. Food still calls me all the time. You know, I often share how amazed I am that's, and I think it's important for me to share this because I know there's people here who do not recoil as if from a hot flame. They're, you know, I know. It's our addiction. You've been thinking about it since you were a little child, for the most part, for most of us. So I go into the break room at work, and there's a big pink box. And I find it so lovely. and so beautiful. I'm in a big pink box in my world. And I'm there alone in the break room, and nobody's going to know. And one won't hurt me. And you know what I do a lot? I don't recommend this because it's probably just the height of insanity, but I open up the box and I look at it. You know, just like a girl looking at the window of Tiffany's. Ooh, wow. Mama. It looks good. I don't do it. I don't take it. Now, I don't think that's probably good for everybody because I think we're such visual people. OA people are so visual that, you know, might not work for everybody. But I feel a great satisfaction in doing that somehow. I even smell it sometimes. And I ask people, is it good? Does it taste good? Do you like it? And you'd be surprised at how many people they don't like it. What's the matter with them? I just can't get over it. Well, yeah, it's a little dry. What do you mean? Or my favorite, it's sort of rich. Well, eat it slower. I have good advice for these people that don't know how to cram it down their throat until they hate themselves. I can help you with that. I was at a friend's yesterday, and anyway, I was helping her do something in her home, and she said, have you been to the new Target yet? I live up in the foothills. We don't have big box stores up there, but this Target opened up, quite controversial, blah, blah, blah. So I said, no, I haven't been yet, but I'm planning to go. She said, have you, and she, down from the counter, and right for me, I mean, it wasn't already open, she opened up a bag of potato chips. I don't care if you eat potato chips. I don't give a rat's ass what you eat, to be quite honest. What you could eat could kill me. What I could eat could kill you. I can't tell you how sad I feel that I'm up here and you're thinking, oh, she doesn't eat potato chips and I do, I'm bad. I don't care what you eat. God probably doesn't. He wants just for you to be clean and clear, I guess. I don't know what God wants, but I know what he wants for me. He wants me to be clean and clear. So it was sort of, if she hadn't opened them exclusively for me, I wouldn't have felt so bad. But she opened them for me, and she said, have one. You have to have one of these. They make them. And I was sort of like the deer in the headlights, you know. I said, well, I don't eat those. And she said, well, just have one. Yeah, because if you don't eat them, you could just have one. And she said, just have one. And I just, you know what I did? I took the bag. And I smelled it. And I said, oh, those... No, I said, those smell good. And then she didn't push me anymore. But she, I think she looked a little... You know, like Scooby-Doo. Yeah, I know I'm different. You know, that's the way it is. I know my food is odd. I know... it's not odd to me. I mean, I just know from working with people and being at work and stuff that... No, I can't have that. No, thank you. Oh, it looks great, but I'm not... let me take it home for my husband. You know, I do a lot of that kind of thing, wrapping things up and taking them home to the kids or my husband. Where I live, there aren't a lot of OA meetings. I do go to AA and Al-Anon a lot. I like to be with you. I don't always like you. I love you in a special way. But I always like to be with you. I know you know who I am, and it's helpful. Not that I live a double life, really. I don't think I act any different anywhere else I am. But it's comfortable, you know. It's comfortable to be able to share at this level. And you know. Gosh, I'm saying you know a lot. Well, this isn't Toastmaster, you know. I can say whatever I want. But, you know, a few years back, I shared in Long Beach, and I was the closing speaker, you know. And I had all weekend to think about that because I wasn't at work. Obviously, I was at the convention, and I thought about it, and I would hear other speakers, and I would read, and I don't think I was obsessed with it at all. I don't think I really feel comfortable. But when I got up there, I drew such a blank after about 10 minutes that I remembered all the people that had spoken, and I could see them struggling. They didn't want to speak anymore, and they kept going, and they really stunk because they didn't have anything to say. And so I just thought, I don't want to be like that, and I stopped. And it bothered me for about a month afterwards. I promised myself, always go your whole time, Rebecca. But really, that seems like a bad goal. So what time is it?
You've done about 20 minutes.
What I have left? Oh, okay. I can do that with one arm tightly behind my back, as they say. So I do give food away as presents. I don't do a lot of baking or anything like that. I meet so many people in OA that they can bake and they can do all this stuff. I think it's amazing. I think it's awesome. I can't do that. But I do go to Thieves at Christmas time, and I buy it for the truck drivers because I know they like that. And there's nothing I recommend that I do that you should do, except for to work your steps and work with a sponsor. I've met an awful lot of people that have gone out in program behind the holidays. It's resentment. Resentment is the number one offender. It is ever thus. It doesn't mean it's the only offender, but it is the number one offender. And it's really hard to get in touch with how resentful you are when you're so hurt. You're not angry, but you're hurt. And if you had that mother, you'd eat too. And if you had that husband, you'd know what it was like, and you'd have to. So no, resentment is the number one offender. Bill talks about it constantly in the Big Book. And yet when you talk to someone in program and you say, sounds like you're angry, sounds like you're resentful, 50% of the time they go, no, I'm not. Okay. I've been in the car over the years many a time where someone has said, I've decided to take back sugar. Very cold-bloodedly, which tells me they probably have already done it. But, you know, but I say, well, it's a little suspect that you're doing it now, the day before Thanksgiving. I'm glad they have abstinence through the holidays before Halloween. Because really, very few people really binge on Christmas Day or Halloween even. We're all so busy patting ourselves on the back because we got through an abstinent meal with 10 people around us. Get real. Who do you think you're kidding? Talk to me when you're alone with the leftovers. Talk to me when you're at the grocery store and there's a big cart of 50% off candy. Because that's what will do it to me. My mother was a bargain shopper, and when I walk into any of those grocery stores or drug stores the day after the holiday, that particular holiday, and I see that big load of, you know, cold and creamy, round discs that you put in the jar, all that, oh my God, 50% off! But that's not 50% less calories, you know. That's just 50% off. 50% off means 50% more heartache and self-hatred. So, yeah, for me it starts at Halloween. It really does. Halloween, and it goes all the way till Valentine's Day. Abstinence through the holidays is, that's how long. I mean, I could and have binged that long from November 1st through February 15th. Funny that they call it Sweetheart Day, because by the time it's over, no one thinks I'm a sweetheart. I'm so filled with self-loathing. I'm so isolated. My biggest thing in life was to isolate. This was, looking back on it, if I could put a word picture on it. To isolate. And then when I saw you, to kiss your ass. Yeah. Exhausting. And I don't know where I got that. That doesn't come by naturally. And nothing in my family is like that. But that's what I did. I just isolated all the time. I think that's why so many compulsive overeaters are very visual. Because we watch a lot of TV and movies and read. You know, we're just sort of in that room with the curtains drawn and living another life. My husband and I were watching a movie. I was in program about 6 months. I remember this. And in the movie, this big needle goes into this guy's arm. This big, huge, long thing. And it shows the needle going in. And Dennis says, well, that looks painful. And I said, it is! I think that's how I figured out how visual we are. I've actually had to tell sponsees who are very depressed about their love life, about their dating life, not to go see a romantic movie. Go see Freddy. I would never tell anybody to go see that. But I'm just saying, be kind to yourself. Know who you are. you know, protect yourself to some degree. If you're going to go home and feel miserable about your life after seeing a movie, hey, it's $10 now. For $10, you know, you can stay home and count your loot. So, yeah, food is just, I mean, to me, it's a pleasure, and I think we should enjoy it. I like the idea of enjoying my meals. I like the idea of thinking about what I'm going to eat. I don't, you know, plan on this all day. But I do plan. I do plan my meals. I just mean I don't obsess on it. I do think, I don't want to set myself up. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to eat. I don't know where I'm going to eat. My friends get mad because I always eat salad everywhere I go. But I like it. I enjoy my salads. What they're eating looks pretty good, better actually. But I'm happy with my salad. But they always say, but the chef, you don't get to see what the chef made. You know, what he can do. If you always have at a Mexican restaurant, I have a tostada salad without the shell. I'm not telling you this so you can eat this way. I almost don't like to do this because I know somebody's thinking, oh, I don't do that. Or I should do that. You do what you and your sponsor and your God tell you to do or suggest. At a Chinese restaurant, half the time I eat a Chinese chicken salad. There's a lot of places that are really uncomfortable for me to eat because I have so many things I have on the side or make it without this or without that. That, you know, and I don't want to be difficult. I don't like to. I'm a people pleaser. I don't want the waitress not liking me. She's very important. I'm always afraid they're going to spit my food in the back. Not that I wouldn't eat it anyway. Sometimes I don't know. I don't know. You know, really, I'm not psychic. I don't know what goes on back there. All I know is I'm not making it, and that's half the battle for me. I'm thrilled. Went out to a play the other night with a couple of friends that I work with, and we went to dinner before, and this is a new place that just opened up our way, and it was absolutely jammed. I mean, my gosh, it was just beautiful, beautifully decorated, fabulous decor, beautiful menu, and I had a cup of soup. And it was very satisfying. I was really happy with it. I had eaten a big lunch. I'd also been out with a friend earlier in the day. It was a big social day. And what they were having was so fabulous looking. And I asked them, how is it? And they said it was fabulous. It was so good. How's your soup? Hot. No, it was really tasty. And I just said to myself, be grateful for this soup. This is delicious. This is all you really want. I just had this huge lunch just a couple of hours before. I could have had a bigger meal, but that would have been really pushing the envelope. I didn't want to go to this play. I didn't want to be with people. I had already been with somebody all day. That's plenty. I work with the public. So sometimes you guys make me sick. No, not you. But just people in general, like, God, I'm worn out. Why am I worn out? I'm not entertaining them. I'm not an entertainer. I'm not entertaining them. I don't know why that is. All those years of isolation. But I get to isolate so little, and I'm very careful of not isolating. That was a legitimate thing for me to do, to go to that play and have dinner with those girls. That was a legitimate thing to do. It was a legitimate thing to do to go out with the woman earlier in the day. I have these many days off. People want to see me. I'm very fortunate. There was many years where I just sat around waiting for somebody or me calling them. I had a lot of relationships were very one-sided. I was knocking on their door. I was calling them. Not a lot, but I did. It was very one-sided. And when you set that up, it makes you even more lonely. And now I have people that want me, and it wears me out. But I love it. I do. I do. I do love people, and I do love to. I don't know how to explain it. I guess I feel at one with you, or at one with the world. I have tremendous empathy. It's been a great ride. You know, I was going to say something way, way, way back in the 1900s when I got up here. When I had 19 years of abstinence, and this is what I wanted to share. I wanted out. I was a dog chewing my leg off to get out of these rooms. I was very cold-blooded about it. I actually went and told all my sponsees, I'm leaving OA. I told my sponsor. I remember she burst into tears. I said, no, I'm going to finish up the word is service. Whoo, boy. Anyway, I was going to finish up my service, and I was going to leave. And I was telling my sponsees in plenty of time so they could get new sponsors. And I had a lot of different reactions. I wasn't doing it to get a reaction. I was pretty sincere. And one of the reactions that was very common was, okay, but I want you to listen to my writing. They could care less. I mean, they wanted to get better. They wanted to get better. They wanted me to listen to their writing. Okay. So it was pretty funny, and it passed. I know now is I was having a lot of trouble with a very prime relationship, a very deep relationship in my life. I was having a lot of trouble, and I couldn't bear to look at that. So I thought, I'll tear off some other leg. I'll tear off some other huge part of my being rather than look at what was happening, which was that my life was going to change in a huge and horrendous way. As always, that too shall pass. This too shall pass. You know, we don't talk about it much. This too shall pass did happen for me. That incident or series of incidents, my life got better. I like to think it's because I worked the steps, kept my mouth shut a lot. I mean, I had grooves in my tongue. I was spitting blood half the time. But I learned to just listen. I keep learning that one a lot. And anyway, I stayed. One of the things we say to people that are in a lot of pain is, this too shall pass. We hardly ever say that when things are going well. But it's also true. Enjoy it. That's why we live one day at a time. This is great. This is fantastic. Nobody's going to say, yeah, but it's not going to last. But in a way, it's helpful to remember because it makes you more cognizant of how beautiful and joyful that is. This too shall pass means one day at a time. It's today. I signed up for perfection here. I tell this story all the time. I really think most people come into the program, any 12-step program, and they have a secret contract. If they do these things, they're going to have the perfect relationship. They're going to have the perfect body. They're going to have these kids. They're going to have money. Something somewhere in them, because they come in broken, or we come in broken, tells us we're going to have this thing that we yearn for so deeply. And sometimes you get it and sometimes you don't. But I'm telling you, everything has to be fed, dusted, insured. There's no gift that doesn't have a big string attached. So this too shall pass is probably a really good thing to say on every level. I am so grateful for being asked to share here. And how am I doing? Okay, I'm still at it. So as far as the holidays go now, you know, we're all I talk to a woman and I work with a woman who's very, very thin, and she loves food. You meet people like this all the time. They love food. They love to talk about food. They're very thin. They're not compulsive overeaters. They love to entertain. She brings cookbooks in to read, like you and I would read, Playgirl, I don't know, whatever. I don't read anything like that. But Us Magazine, I don't read that either. But, like you and I would read the big book. Doesn't that sound nice? But anyway, that's the way she reads cookbooks. And I look at her and I think, how's she so thin? And food is constant. She's always bringing food in. She's sharing food. And people love food. You know, people that aren't normal love food, too. They love to be around food, and they're thrilled. You can make a friend really fast if you bring in a dozen cookies to work. And it's one of those things where, you know, because I struggle so much with my weight, a lot of it now is medical. You know, I've had big issues and had to take medication. I have a lot of trouble with this and that. I'm menopausal now on top of everything else. Like, I used to really hate my stomach, and now I really hate my neck. So that's progress. And then I've got the these lines here. I think, what the heck are those? Another thing to think is ugly. But that's life. You know, I'm still alive. I'm kicking. I mean, I think that alone is pretty awesome. I'm sure I'd be dead by now. I never really thought I'd get to 300 or 400 pounds. I was so breaking down. I'm only 5'3", and I was really breaking down at just the weight I was carrying, which was, you know, I had a lot of weight. And my body was breaking down. My knees were breaking down. My breathing, everything was so labored. I never thought you hear people say, oh, I'd be 300 pounds. I wouldn't have done it. I would have died. There's not a doubt in my mind. I was really getting way too weak to sustain a 300 pound in my frame. But I, so when you people say I'm grateful to be here, I'm grateful to be anywhere. I did used to pray for death. You know, that was because I, you know, like I said, I had a God. So that's how I used to order him around. Let me die. I hate this. Yeah, well, I'm glad he doesn't listen too intently. My primary purpose is to abstain and carry the message to people who are still suffering. That's your primary purpose, too. We're mandated by the program to do that. I hope today that you heard something that I can help you with. Many, many years ago, my second sponsor said to me, before you get up and speak, always ask God to remove your ego. And so when I get up here, I'm like a slinky. What's left? So that's what I did today. I asked God to remove my ego and to be of service. I know somebody somewhere here needed to hear this. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I do wish you an abstinence-free holiday, and keep coming back.